Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me today. You know, the purpose of this show is to help people in their mindfulness journey, which is to say, helping people to bring their full awareness to the present moment without judgment. And one of the things that's really important on a mindfulness journey is noticing our habits of mind, those places where our mind typically goes, especially in a stressful situation. And one of the things I've really been focusing on lately is the relationship between mindfulness and habits of mind and racism. How is it, particularly for white Americans, that we have a deeply embedded belief in white racial superiority such that it's a habit? It's our go-to place, even when we would rather it not be, right? It's very hard to bring that kind of deeply held belief to conscious awareness, but that's what has to happen in order to change it. And so that's what I'm thinking about with these shows. One of the disadvantages, if you want to put it that way, is maybe a kind way to put it, that white Americans have, is that we too often have almost no contact with African Americans. And so the information we have about their rich, diverse lives is distorted and limited, and that's a problem. So I've decided to use my platform here on Transformation Talk Radio every other week to disrupt this habit of mind about white racial superiority. And disrupting those habits means feeding my mind and yours with counter narratives, with stories from Black Americans about their, in some ways, ordinary, but in many respects, absolutely extraordinary lives. I hope that for white Americans, it helps you to gain a deeper appreciation for the diversity of the experience of African Americans. And for my listeners who are African American or people of color in general, I hope that the stories you hear will resonate with your experience, that you will see yourselves in the lives of my guests. And my guest today is my friend, Ms. Sherelle Wallace. Sherelle is a single mom, and she's the mother of three beautiful young ladies, and I know that because I've seen their pictures on Facebook. And Sherelle works at the Gordon Behrens Senior Center in Galesburg, Illinois, where she plans activities for seniors and gives a much-needed break to the caregivers and family members who take care of them. And when she's not taking care of her family and other people, she's pursuing her entrepreneurial goals and dreams and that spirit that she has to make things and create things in the world. And particularly, she's created a t-shirt business, and we'll give you information about how to get access to those t-shirts. And it's called Living Inside Out Tees, and these are Christian-themed t-shirts. And then, most recently, she started a podcast called Living Inside Out by Faith. And we'll give you information about how to reach and access that podcast as well. So Sherelle, thank you so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mary Angela. It's great to be here.
I know this is the end of your workday, and so it's very kind of you to take this time, but I really appreciate it. So we're going to be talking about your growing up years. We're going to be talking about single parenthood, right? But most of all, we're going to be talking about your faith journey and how your journey led you to creating the t-shirt business and your podcast. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. So as I mentioned to you, I like to start each show with a breathing exercise so that we all feel more relaxed. So if you wouldn't mind, if you'd like to join me, I'd love to have you do that. So, okay, here's what we do. We bring conscious attention to our breath so that we can feel calm, so that we can focus our mind and enhance clarity. And so here's how we do it. We take an inhalation and we pause at the top, and then we make that exhalation just slightly longer than the inhalation. And we use a method that Lori Cameron, a mindfulness educator, developed called three deep breaths. So that first breath, we just pay attention to the sensation of the air entering and exiting our body. For the second breath, we notice any place where we feel tension and we relax. And then for that third breath, we bring our full attention to the present moment and set our intention for this moment. What do we need right now? So here we go. Breath number one, just pay attention to the breath. Breath number two, relax. And breath number three, set your intention. So thanks for joining me in that. So my guest today is single mom, caregiver, entrepreneur, and someone who lives by faith, Sherelle Wallace. Sherelle, you and I met when you were we were both volunteers at an organization called Knox Prairie Community Kitchen that serves dinner twice a month. And so this was in Galesburg, Illinois. And I know that you work in Galesburg, Illinois, live in Galesburg, Illinois. But did you grow up in Galesburg?
No, I actually grew up about 12 minutes away from Galesburg in Monmouth, Illinois.
Okay.
So I didn't go far, but I was a small Midwestern town, a little bit smaller than Galesburg is where I grew up.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was good. I mean, it's all I ever knew growing up. It's probably had about 30,000 people there.
Okay.
I grew up there on the south side. I was brought up by my mom and my dad. Mm-hmm. It was me and my sister, and we just grew up there and went to school there my whole life. I got lots of family there, especially on my dad's side, the Wallace side.
Oh.
Basically, all his family's always been from there.
Okay.
So I grew up with like a lot of cousins and things like that. My church was just right down the block from my house, so
Okay. Small
town living.
Yeah. Do your folks still live in Monmouth?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
I think they're getting ready to be married about 47 years this month. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we've been there my whole life. So.
Okay. What was I think of Monmouth, I've only been there a few times. Not the most diverse city in the world, but maybe I'm wrong about that. What was it?
Let's see, all the people that look like me, my color, they're pretty much all my family.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a couple other, you know, minority families there as far as African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it wasn't really, really diverse, but back in those days, I guess you didn't really notice it that much, or I didn't.
Okay.
So, I grew up going to school, and I was sort of an introverted person, still am kind of, even though I have a podcast, but very introverted. I was very shy, but I did sort of get out of that as I started doing sports and things like that. And so I had friends of, you know, every race. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You were a runner in high school. Is that right? I noticed that in your podcast, you mentioned that.
Yep. I ran track. That's really the only sport I did. I figured it didn't take much coordination. So I was able to do that. I wasn't like good at basketball or anything, In elementary school, I remember in sixth, I think it was maybe fifth or sixth grade, they had what we called play day.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the school year, you would go to the Monmouth College and all the schools would compete. And so that was when I found out that I could run. They had me like a 400 meter dash, and I just started passing everyone, and everyone was cheering for me. So that was like when I found out that, you know, I can do something. So that's what started my track career.
Okay. I never in my life had the experience where I did a sport and everybody cheered and said, wow, you're really good at that. So I think it's funny, you're sort of hard on yourself. You're shy, but I think of you as such a warm and kind, outgoing presence when we volunteered together, right? You did track because you weren't coordinated, but it takes kind of a lot of coordination, actually. But so sort of a self-deprecating kind of person, I know. But you grew up going to church, is that right? You said the church was just down the street.
Yes, I grew up going to Calvary Baptist Church in Monmouth. My mom. Would take us pretty much every Sunday, basically another family oriented church. My cousins and everybody went there. So,
okay.
Yeah. And I even got baptized at a young age. I think I got baptized at the age of 7 or 8.
Okay.
And a bunch of my cousins, we all got baptized together. I remember.
Oh, okay. So having listened to your podcast, I know that, you went to church, you know, that was part of your family's tradition, just like it was in mine. But at a certain point later in your life, it was not as important to you. It kind of fell away a little bit. Any, was there a particular reason, do you think, or it just, like, a lot of people have that experience when they get to early adulthood?
Yeah, I think, you know, just at the time when I think I was about 18 when I moved out of my parents' house, me and my mm-hmm. friend got an apartment together. Mm-hmm. And so when Sunday rolled around, I didn't have to get up early in the morning and go to church. And, you know, I mean, I really didn't lose my faith.
Right. You know,
I still believed in God, but in everything, but I just started not going to church and just started doing things outside of the church and just living my life, I guess you should say.
Right, exactly. I think that's a classic story, don't you? That lots of people have that experience. Yeah. So what did you do after high school?
After high school, I had planned to go to Carl Sandburg College in Galesburg, Illinois. And it was 1993, the year I graduated. And so that year, I decided I was going to go to school for fashion merchandising. Mm-hmm. And that year, the teachers went on strike.
Oh.
Yeah, in 93. And then they didn't offer fashion merchandising because there wasn't enough interest.
Oh.
I didn't have a plan B. That's all I knew I wanted to go to school for. So I ended up taking a summer job the following year at a factory where my dad worked at, Maytag.
Okay. And
I went there just to work for the summer until I could figure out what I wanted to do, but I ended up being there 10 years.
Okay. Well, and Maytag was a great employer, if I understand correctly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. They're a good employer. You know, you made pretty good money. I was able to, you know, afford a car, eventually a house. So I just continued to work there.
Yeah. And that's about that time. When did you have your oldest child then? A little bit later?
Yeah, I started working at Maytag when I was 19. I ended up having my first daughter, Telsey, at the age of, I was 21, almost 22 when I had her.
Okay, and you have three beautiful daughters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I got three daughters. Telsey's 22, and she goes to Columbia College in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And I always say when I grow up, I want to be like her because she's so ambitious, and she just makes all her dreams come true. Like, she loves to go to concerts and travel. I mean, she's traveled probably almost every state in the United States and beyond. Mm-hmm. And she just loves the music and traveling, going to concerts. So she's met a lot of famous people, and I always tease her that, oh, you know, she'll want to go to a concert and she'll think she's going to meet someone. I'm like, oh, your chances of that are, you know, very slim. But then pretty soon she's sending me a text or a picture saying with Justin Bieber. She's a big Justin Bieber fan. She traveled all over the United States to, you know, see him and other artists. And then I have my 17-year-old daughter, Hallie, who is going to be this is her senior year of high school.
Oh,
yeah, and then I have my youngest, Kinsley, who's going to be in junior high this year, so she's 11.
Okay, and you have been a single parent for much of this time.
Yes, me and their dad, we got together my senior year of high school. He was my first ever boyfriend, and so we got together, and we were actually together for about 15 years, mm-hmm. and I became a single mother when I turned 33.
Okay.
Actually, I became a single mother. We broke up, and then pretty much the next day I went to the doctor because I had taken a home pregnancy test, and so I found out I was pregnant the day after we broke up, and so I was left to be a single mother and pregnant.
Pregnant single mother.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have listened to several of your podcasts, and one of the things that I am so, well, a couple of things. There's some parallels to your story and my mom's story. She was a single parent. And so and including part of your faith journey. And the other thing I really noticed, though, is your capacity to see the good in a difficult situation. And I guess, anyway, so we're going to talk more about that, because I think that as I've listened to your podcast, your journey as a single parent has really fueled some of your faith journey as well, right? The two have really gone hand in hand as you've seen God's work in your life, I would say. Is that a fair description?
Yes, that is very accurate.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that experience of single parenthood and your faith journey. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Learn to love more fearless with me, Kate. Through fun, lively, real conversations as I interview expert guests who have charted a course out of the darkness into the light. Listen live every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. To connect with me and check out my work as an intuitive healer, guide, and coach, visit lovemorefearlessintuitive.com.
Your inspiration all day on transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth, what's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and my guest today is Sherelle Wallace from Galesburg, Illinois, podcaster, entrepreneur, single mom of three, and caregiver extraordinaire. So, Sherelle, before we talk more about the journey and the relationship between your journey as a single mom and your faith journey, will you tell people how they can contact you if you're if they're interested in either listening to your podcast, how do we find it, or B, would like to see your t-shirt designs?
Okay. Well, for my podcast, you can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I think there's Stitcher. I thought I was on Pandora, but I don't think I'm on there yet. Okay. Or you can go to my website, which is www.livinginsideoutbyfaith.com, and my podcasts are on there.
Okay.
Also, the t-shirts, I've sort of been focusing more on the podcast right now, but I'm hoping to be getting back selling my t-shirt very, very soon.
Okay, great.
But if they're interested in that, they can go to the livinginsideoutbyfaith.com and leave me a message and tell me that they're interested in having one.
So I know that the t-shirts have a Christian theme to them. Can you tell me just more what that means?
Well, I was inspired by a sermon that I was watching. It was clear back in 2011. Mm-hmm. I was getting ready for church, and this pastor came on TV, and he started preaching this sermon that he called Living Inside Out. Mm-hmm. And what he said is that Christians need to come out the closet and start sharing what God's doing in their life.
Okay.
So when you live inside out, you're letting what God has done for you sort of manifest and be shown into the world.
Not just keeping it all inside.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. When I became a Christian, that was my biggest fear, was having to share my faith. You know, I didn't want to be intrusive, or I just didn't even know how to get the conversation started. And so when I heard this sermon, I was sort of convicted. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, you know, God's done so much for me, but I'm not telling anyone. And so when he started preaching the sermon, I just pictured a t-shirt that was inside out. And I thought that if people would see that my shirt was inside out, they might ask me why. And then I could sort of share my faith of what God's done in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Did it work? I mean, did people ask you about an inside out t-shirt?
Yes, all the time. people are asking me why my shirt's inside, and still feel a little awkward, I guess, to, you know, say, or, you know, start sharing your faith more, but it definitely is an attention getter. Mm-hmm. And other people who bought my shirt say the same thing that people always say, do you know your shirt's inside out?
Uh-huh. So is there printing on the t-shirts as well?
Yes. There's a logo that I had made. It's of a cross, and it has the words living inside out. And the inside is actually backwards, the word inside, and it's sort of mirrored.
Right.
So it has to do with, you know, when you look in the mirror, it reads correctly.
Right.
That Jesus lives on the inside of you, you know. And so you need to share what's on the inside. It needs to come out.
Okay. Oh, I love that. And the t-shirt business, I mean, we're going to back up a little bit. But it was inspired through your faith journey. And that faith journey, it seems to me, if I'm understanding your story correctly from listening to your podcast and knowing you, really, in a way, accelerated around the time you became a single parent. Is that?
Yes. Like I said, I grew up going to church. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped going when I turned 18. But it was in the fall of 2007, and my aunt, Cheryl. She's the one I'm named after. I'm Sherelle. She's Cheryl. Mm-hmm. I grew up wanting to be like her my whole life. She was my role model. And she was just very beautiful. She loved fashion. And I just wanted to be just like her when I grew up. Mm-hmm. So she lived in Minnesota. I lived in Illinois. And one day out of the blue, she just called me. I hadn't talked to her for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And she said that God had put it on her heart to tell me that he had a plan for my life that was bigger and better than anything I could imagine.
Wow.
And so when she called me, I was actually laying across my bedroom or across my bed. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself that there has to be more to life than this. You know, at that time I was still with my boyfriend, the girl's father. Mm-hmm. We've been together 14 years and we had the house, we had the car, all the material things, but I just still felt like something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she called me in that moment, those thoughts were going through my head. There has to be more to life than this. And she calls me and tells me, you know, God has a plan for your life. But she told me that you need to start going to church. Well, I hadn't been to church since I was 18. I was now 33. But when she told me that, something inside my heart, my spirit just knew that she was telling me the truth. Mm-hmm. And so the next day was Sunday. And so I got me and my girls ready and we went to a church. I didn't have any clue where I was going. I thought I was going to go to one of the bigger churches because they have the daycare, you know, like Bethel, you know, Galesburg area. But I ended up going to this small little church, looked like a little white house that I went with my cousin to like many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just went there. Another thing that my aunt had told me is that I would know that I found the right church when I felt like the pastor was speaking directly to me.
Okay.
And so when I got to that church, I didn't think that I was going to stay there. It was just, like I said, a really small church.
Right.
But everything there was just so loving and warm, and I just felt the warmth there. So I ended up going there, you know, the next Sunday too.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the pastor had preached a sermon, and he had everyone turn to a scripture. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11, and it said, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you a future and a hope." And I just felt like he was speaking directly to me.
Right.
And so I knew I was in the right church, and so I've been there ever since.
Oh, it was just a complete continuation of what your aunt had said to you. Wow. And tell me the name of this church.
It's Full Gospel.
Yes.
Illinois, yes.
Yeah, I know them a little bit because Full Gospel made a commitment to this Knox Prairie Community Kitchen program where you and I volunteered to come at least once a month to volunteer. And I would say I'm not surprised that when you went in that first day, you felt the warmth, the kindness, the fellowship of that congregation, because whenever you all showed up for a dinner, it just transformed the atmosphere of the play, of the dining room, in such a loving way. It was really noticeable. So that's great. So you're still there today. Those are your
people. Yes, I'm still there today, and we've pretty much been volunteering. We still volunteer at KPCK, even though, you know, during COVID, we do drive through dinner now. But yeah, we're there pretty much every time, twice a month.
That's fantastic. I know that I know when I was there with KPCK, we really depended on you. And it was, you know, your physical presence, but it was really the spiritual presence, I think, that was very noticeable. So, okay. So that was a real transformational moment for you, finding that church.
Yes. Actually, at that time, that was a year before I became a single mother. So I felt like God was sort of preparing me. You know, my faith journey had begun a year before I became a single mother. And I really think that helped with my faith and how, you know, the hardship of becoming a single mother. I think that sort of helped a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It gave you some social safety net a little bit of people and community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So will you tell me, I mean, I've heard some of the stories from your podcast, but one of the things I really noticed as you tell your stories is, so this is really a question, and I don't mean to be long-winded about it, but I will be a little bit. So once you had this shift in your life and you went back to church and you started to, I think, transform your relationship to how you saw God and God in your life, it really changed, I thought, as I listened to your stories, how you saw everything. It wasn't that you didn't have any hardships, but you became, it seemed to me, so tuned in to when, you might call it a miracle, when faith protected you, showed up for you, was made a difference. Is that a good, an accurate description?
Yes, definitely. I started becoming aware. When I started going to church, I went there because my aunt had told me God had a plan for my life. So I went there searching for that plan.
Right.
But in the meanwhile, I end up finding out who God was and then finding out who he said I was, you know. So I started learning a lot about him and myself. And so then I think I became more aware in my surroundings when he was actually showing up, you know, like when I'd feel down or, you know, things would get hard, it's like, I would hear a sermon on TV because I was listening to, you know, Christian radio stations, watching Christian radio stations. Or I'd hear a song that ministered to me would come on at that exact moment. And so I felt like it was God himself, you know, speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it gave me a lot of comfort. I think one of the stories I share in my podcast was I was actually still living in the house that me and my family lived in, the father and I, and the roof was getting really bad. Mm-hmm. Where when it rained and poured, I mean, it would come through the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I remember it was actually my bedroom. And I remember just laying on the bed and watching this water come from the ceiling, and I had to put a bucket, just to catch it. And I remember just looking at, you know, the hole in the ceiling, because the ceiling was just coming apart in that one spot. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, my house is falling apart. But on the inside, I just felt so restored.
Oh.
I remember just having that thought. I was like, my house is falling apart, but on the inside, I feel like I'm so restored. I just had peace. It's just amazing, you know, how God just really was working in my life. You know, when I was going to church as a young child and got baptized, I went to church because it was like a ritual.
Right.
But when I went to church as an adult, it was more of a relationship and it was more personal and it was more real than it had ever been. But I think definitely being a single mother, having to depend on God like I did, I was always independent, always had a job, always, you know, had two incomes. And so to have to be a single mother and just really have to depend on him. And that was the only thing, you know, the only person I really had. You know, I had family, but of course, you know, I don't like asking for help. That's one thing. So not a lot of my family even knew I needed help financially and, you know, that kind of thing. And so when things came through, it was only God.
Your story about the leaking roof, I know that led to eventually you let go of the house. You moved into an apartment and you said it was a nicer apartment than maybe even the house had been.
Yeah, you know, it was I lived in a 3-bedroom ranch, 1-bathroom. But the apartment I lived was a bigger square footage. It had the 3-bedroom, but it had 2 baths, and I had my master bath and, you know, my master closet and the laundry room and all that thing or that. So yeah, it was actually better than the house that I lived in.
Well, you know, that's a place that really reminded me of my mother's experience, because after my father left, she was raising 6 children alone. She'd been raised in the church, but she'd felt kind of abandoned by the church. This was in the 60s when divorce was really, people were treated pretty badly sometimes when they were divorced. And so she had stopped going to church, but she'd not really let go of her faith. And then she lost the job she had that was what keeping us afloat. Mm-hmm. And that's when she absolutely surrendered to her faith in God. And within a week she had, you know, this, what she felt was an absolutely devastating blow of losing a job. And she surrenders to her faith. And a week later, she has a better job with more money and better hours. And, you know, it was, you know, from a house that you thought you probably felt you had to hold on to letting it go because you had faith, to a better outcome, actually.
Yes, definitely.
Remarkable. But it also, and that's what I was kind of talking about before, is you have to see it that way. Not everybody would see it that way, right?
Yes. I think people, you know, always said, oh, I bet it's so hard to be a single mother. They always say, I don't know how you do it, but it's mm-hmm. my faith that keeps me strong, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just feel so empowered from the inside. And and so that's where my strength comes from.
Exactly. You said earlier that your aunt had said to you, God has a plan for your life that's even greater than you can imagine. You go back to church, looking, you said, I was looking for the plan. And I love that, because I know that, at least I think you and I both think, when I'm looking for the plan, I like, what are the 4 steps, right? Or what is the outcome going to look like? So that's not what God had in mind for you. Is that right?
Yeah. He started out where, you know, I just got to know who he was. My faith was growing stronger through my hardships of being a single mother. Mm-hmm. Miracle after miracle happened where God just really, you know, showed up in my life, and financially and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so when I was trying to discover the plan, I remember just one night, I was trying to do things on my own strength. The only thing that I've always loved is fashion. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to open up my own store. And I actually had done a sort of traveling boutique where I would set up clothing had all the fixtures in my house at the time, and have people come and shop.
Right.
And so I did that. And then that didn't really work out. And so I'm like, God, just tell me what you want me to do. You know, please just tell me. I begged him.
What's the plan?
Yeah. What's the plan? I'm tired of doing things on my own strength. Mm. And, so I remember just listening to that sermon, and as the preacher was preaching about living inside out, I immediately envisioned this t-shirt.
Ah.
And so to go back to this time when I was in 5th grade, because I, you know, I always loved fashion. And so I remember I'd always draw clothing for my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I was showing my favorite teacher, Miss Simpson or Simonson, my clothing, and she was picking out what she liked and, you know, telling me. And I was walking back to my desk, and I remember having this overwhelming feeling on the inside of me that it was almost an audible voice that said, mm-hmm. one day you're going to do something great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do? And at the time I wanted to be a fashion designer. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a fashion designer. But to me, that didn't seem really great. And so at the same time, I was like, well, I want to help people. And at that time, being a social worker was the only thing I knew to help people. So I decided I was going to be a fashion designer / social worker.
Uh-huh.
That was my dream. I'm going to do fashion, but I'm also going to help people. And so when I'm thinking back on it, it's just amazing how God works. Cause even back then he was there with me. Cause mm-hmm. now with the Living Inside Out t-shirts, it's fulfilling my fashion, my need for fashion. but also I'm helping people share the good news.
Right.
So just when I heard that sermon, like I said, I just thought about the t-shirt, and I actually, I think emailed my aunt at that time and said, oh my gosh, I just heard this sermon on TV, and this guy or this pastor was talking about Christians needing to live on the inside, from the inside out, and share what God's doing in their life. And I said, I pictured this t-shirt, and I told her the whole story. And she emailed me back and said, praise the Lord. She told me that God had given her a vision that night, the night before, that me and her were going to go into business together.
Wow.
So then the next day, I present this business idea to her. And so that's how I knew it was God.
So Sherelle, you and your aunt, again, your vision really came together almost at the same time. So just as you were having this insight about the t-shirts, she was having the insight, the sense that God was asking her, encouraging her to go into business with you. And so did you live happily ever after from there? I mean, was it all smooth sailing from that point forward?
Well, when I got the vision, you know, that I was supposed to use these t-shirts to share my faith or faith, I didn't really want to share my faith. Like I said, I was an introvert. So my plan was to make the shirts and let my aunt do the evangelism, because she was actually on the evangelism team of her church.
Okay.
But immediately I felt like God was saying, no, you're going to share your faith too. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately started working on the t-shirts, having logo designed, and began selling t-shirts. But at the time I was going through a screen printer, and just the cost of everything and having to double that cost to, make a profit.
Right.
I didn't feel right selling them for that much. But I eventually, the place where I work at, where I can still work at, they owned an agency, or our agency owned a screen print shop. And I would be there pretty much every day. I was a job coach. I helped people with developmental disabilities learn jobs. And so I was at this screen print shop all the time, mm-hmm. and learning about, what they did, the screen printing and all that. And eventually they went out of business because they just weren't making enough profit.
Mm-hmm.
So in October, November of the same year that God gave me the vision for the t-shirts, one of my coworkers came up to me and said, they're selling stuff from the screen print shop down there. And so she said they have a bunch of t-shirts for 50 cents. So I thought, I'm going to go down there and buy a bunch of t-shirts for 50 cents.
Yeah.
And, when I went down there, there was a room full of t-shirts and the old equipment and everything. And even though I went down there just for the t-shirts, I noticed the equipment, and I had asked one of the people in charge of selling the equipment, trying to get an estimate on how much it would cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so she told me she'd have to get back with me. Mm-hmm. And so in the meantime, I went and looked up everything, Googled, all the machinery right. that I had to get an estimate on the price. And like I thought, it was thousands of dollars.
Oh.
And so I was like, that's way out of my price range. Yeah. I'm a single mother and my bank account's, negative. So there's no way I'm here to buy this machinery. But the next day, the lady emailed me to tell me the prices of all the machinery. And for the conveyor belt dryer, it was going to be $75. For the screen press, it was going to be $25. And for the emulsion machine, it was $50. So basically, I could get everything for under $200.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just amazed. I couldn't believe it, And mm-hmm. even though it was just not very much money, it still was a lot of money to me as a single right. mother.
Right.
So I sort of let it go. I mean, I was excited, but then again, I was like, well, there's really nothing I can do about it. And then I think a few days later, my aunt had called me, or I called her, and I mentioned the machinery to her, and she was just amazed. She's like, that's God. That's God. This machinery is meant for you. And she's like, I'm sending you a check in the mail the next day. And so that's how I was able to start my t-shirt business and get everything I needed for it. And that's how I knew it was God as well, that, mm-hmm. He gave me the vision, and then he made the provision to do what he had asked me to do all in the, within a few months.
I love that phrase. He gave you the vision, and he gave you the provision to make it real. That is just beautiful. That's a really beautiful, it's a beautiful story. But again, I keep coming back to, you had to be willing to see it that way. You know, there had to be an openness in your heart, it seems to me, to see the opportunities, to see the possibilities, and to see God's work in what came about. Cheryl, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like you to talk about your podcast, and I'd like to know if there's a message you'd like to leave with listeners today, okay? So I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that. Folks, you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll be back in just a minute with Cheryl Wallace.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Take us with you on that morning commute. Download your favorite podcast from the Transformation Radio Network. Just visit transformationradio.fm.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Inspire. Create. Empower. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. We're here at Nothing But Now to talk about mindfulness, to habits of mind, to having a greater awareness of the present moment without judgment. And in this series that I'm calling Voices, we're having conversations with folks about their extraordinary and regular lives. And my guest today is Cheryl Wallace. Cheryl is a single mom of three wonderful young ladies. She is a caregiver. She works with helping people as a job coach and in a senior center with activities. She also has is an entrepreneur with her own t-shirt business and her own podcast. The t-shirt business is Living Inside Out. Is that wrong, Cheryl? Tell me again the names of the t-shirt company and the podcast.
Living Inside Out Tees and Living Inside Out by Faith podcast.
Yes, great. So thanks for being here today. We've been talking about your faith journey and how it brought you to really, would you say that it allowed you to see yourself as an entrepreneur? Because I don't think most people, that's a big word. That's a big thing to see. That's, you know, to be a creator. Was that a leap? Did it feel like a big leap?
No, I've always had sort of the entrepreneurial spirit. Okay. I've tried to sell many different things, Mary Kay and, you know, different things like that, but I wasn't passionate about it. And so I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I knew I wanted to deal with fashion, but I wasn't exactly for sure in what capacity until I got the vision for Living Inside Out Tea that sort of married my love for fashion and my faith.
Okay. So what brought you to the podcast? Because one of the things you've said is that you're kind of introverted, that speaking, you tried to get somebody else to do sort of some of the public speaking part of it, but here you are, a weekly podcast, no less. So will you tell us about it, but also how you came to be doing it?
Well, the vision behind the t-shirts all along was for people to share their faith. Mm-hmm. I knew what God had done in my life, and I think for my own purposes, I just wanted to hear other people's stories of what God's done in their life. And so I started off selling my t-shirts at my local farmer's market, and that sort of got me out of my shell a little bit.
Okay.
And then I end up actually meeting someone at the farmer's market who introduced me to Toastmasters. And so I became a member of our local Toastmasters, and totally out of my comfort zone, public speaking. But within a few months, I ended up becoming the president of the Toastmasters. They sort of nominated me. And as much as I wanted to say no, the word yes just came out. And so I think it sort of gave me some confidence that, they asked me to be the president. And so that sort of gave me the confidence to think, oh, someone thinks that I can do it. So even though I didn't believe in myself, they did. And so that helped. And so it was all about sharing stories all along. But like I said, I was an introvert. But so this podcast, I wanted to hear people's stories. I sort of took a backseat to the t-shirts themselves, because people love the t-shirts. I would sell them at the farmer's market, and everyone loved them, but they weren't really sharing their faith. They would, if someone told them that their shirt was inside out, they would just say, oh, I bought it from this girl at the farmer's market. She's really incredible, but they weren't really sharing their faith.
Okay.
And so I think I started losing track of or focus of what the t-shirts were all about. And so I bought some podcast equipment last year. Like I said, I was too busy to really put it to use. But when the pandemic came in March, God sort of started putting it on my heart again about the podcast. And so I was able to learn how to use it. And I just wanted to hear people's stories. So I interview people and they tell what God's done in their life and how they're actually using their talents, abilities, and gifts to make a difference in the world. And so that's what the basis of the podcast is. They share their stories. Every other week I share my story. And so that's what it was all about. And that's how the podcast got started.
That's great. I think that I'm always so what I love about your story is that it's not just a straight line, right? I mean, it's not just, I had a sense of God speaking to me and showing me the way, and then I just followed a path and it was so obvious. It wasn't obvious. And your willingness to say, okay, am I still on the right path? Is this really, because the t-shirt business was going well.
Yeah, it was going well, but
it wasn't serving your purpose.
Yes. Yep.
That's amazing. What's it been like for you then to interview people about their stories? Are people eager, reluctant, shy? How do you do that?
I'm always amazed that when I reach out to someone, they're like, absolutely. Thank you for asking. And so it's just very encouraging to hear people being so eager to, share their stories. Mm-hmm. I think they might not always get the platform to do that. Right. They might be promoting other things other than their faith. And so I think they just love the opportunity to be here to actually share their faith.
That's fantastic.
And it's very good for me too. I mean, it's very encouraging for me to hear these stories, because I know what God's done for me, but just to hear other people's stories, just very amazing to me and fulfilling.
Yeah, one of those cliches is, talking about preaching to the choir, that, you're just wasting time if you're preaching to the choir. But I always thought, and however you perceive the choir, whether it's within the Christian tradition or another faith tradition or belief system, but people of belief need reinforcement, right?
Yeah, definitely. Right?
I think about the song that would come on the radio, the voice you would hear listening to the television, that would really help recenter you, right? And bring you back to your faith.
Yes, definitely. I definitely think that Christians need encouragement as well. Like you said, it's not always about talking to the person that doesn't know God, which that's very, very important too. That's the basis of my t-shirts too, but just to uplift the people around you, because I think it can be very tiring. It could be turned into a thing that you just do every Sunday. You just go to church and then you go home until the next week, then you go back to church, you know. But mm-hmm. just in order to hear how God's work actually working in people's lives and how they go from the pew to their purpose, it's just very amazing stories.
Yeah. What's been the one that, has there been one that surprised you the most? Like somebody you knew that you maybe didn't really know their the deeper story?
Pretty much all my guests, I knew, you know, what they were doing, but I didn't know the reason behind it. My first guest was a guy that I met. He came to Galesburg, another friend of mine. He came to perform. He's a Christian rapper. Mm-hmm. And I knew he was just very powerful and amazing. And, you know, he was just this small little guy. And then, but when he got on the stage, he was like this powerhouse. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what, you know? And just to hear his story that, you know, he dealt with suicidal thoughts and he never quite really fit in, you know. He traveled, he moved a lot for his dad's job. He never quite fit in. So just to hear that that's where it came from. Now I understand why he's so passionate. And so him and his wife, they travel around the world and he tries to uplift people through his music and he tries to reach people that don't quite fit in. That's where he came from.
Yes. You were saying you interviewed Leanne Porter, who I also know from Galesburg, who started an organization called Loving Bottoms. What was that interview like?
It was very good. We became very good friends. We actually met at the farmer's market. He's the one that actually got me to go to Toastmasters.
She's a very persuasive figure. Yeah.
Yes. She was very shy, just like me. I mean, probably as bad as I was. And so when I heard that she had joined Toastmasters, I was like, she's doing Toastmasters. Good for you. And she's like, you should come. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to go. So just to hear her story, she was a single mom there for a while and she struggled to buy diapers, you know. She got food stamps and everything, but they didn't pay for diapers. And so Jesus had put it on her heart to start a diaper bank, but she didn't believe in herself as well. But, you know, she kept on with the encouragement of her family and her faith. She was able to start this diaper bank and it's just really grown where she's serving, I think, 8 or 9 counties now.
Oh my gosh. It's an amazing organization that she's put together. I heard her speak once and afterwards I complimented her. She's a tremendously talented public speaker also, like you. And but she said she'd always been very shy and hated public speaking, I think. So, So Cherelle, before we wrap up here today, so if people want to contact you or if they want to listen to your podcast, what's the best way to do that?
If you have Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you can reach them from them platforms, Spotify. Just look up Living Inside Out by Faith and you'll see my picture with a pink background. That's me. You'll know it's my podcast. Or you can go straight to my website, which is www.livinginsideoutbyfaith. And I done that website myself, so it's not the best, but you can get my
I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's better than you think it is. Cherelle, do you have a message that you'd like to share with listeners today? Anything in particular as we wrap up?
Well, I know that, I don't know, you know, all the listeners you have, but I don't know what their faith journey is like, if they have a faith or not, but I just want them to know that there is a plan. God does have a plan for their life, and it's bigger and better than anything they can imagine. When my aunt told me that, I thought it was just for me, that God has a plan for everyone's life. I thought it was just for me, but it's for everybody. He's given us all the talents, abilities, and gifts that we can use to make a difference in the world. And so I just hope everyone just knows that and knows that they're here for a purpose and for this particular time. And I just encourage them to find their talents and see how they can make a difference in the world.
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you with both the podcast and the t-shirt business when you get back to it. And folks, please check out Cherelle Wallace and her podcast, Living Inside Out by Faith.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And thanks for being with me today on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll be back next week and we'll talk more about mindfulness. Thanks for joining me. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.